The HIV epidemic is devastating Black men who have sex with men. HIV prevalence is estimated at 32% among BMSM. A strategic convening with young Black MSM leaders was held June 14 through 16, 2015, at the Columbia University Mailman School of Public Health in New York City. To give some background, in June of 2014, the MAC-AIDS Fund supported the Mailman School of Public Health at Columbia University to conduct a desk review of the context of the HIV epidemic among Black men who have sex with men, BMSM, in the United States. The review was based on interviews, analysis of research, and government philanthropic interventions. It indicated that there were particular leadership access and advocacy issues for young men aged 35 and younger. As a result of this review, a convening was held a year later, June 14 through 16, at the Mailman School of Public Health. The convening was a collaboration between 24 YBMSM leaders from throughout the United States, the MAC-AIDS Fund, the Mailman School of Public Health at Columbia University, and the Foundation for AIDS Research, AMFAR. I'm Sabrina Artel, and I spoke with some of the young leaders at the convening. The 24 young leaders all work on HIV/AIDS advocacy in some capacity. This includes direct services provision, research, policy work, organizing, grants management, the arts, and faith-based work. Calvin Lavelle's goal is to influence positive change by being a voice for all Black and Latino gay men towards ultimately reducing HIV infection and stigma throughout New York State. As a health educator and openly HIV-positive speaker for Love Heals, the Allison Gertz Foundation, he has spoken to over 20,000 individuals throughout New York State. Calvin has also served as a community representative for Region 2's U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Calvin is currently the field director for the Community Health Project at the Columbia University's Mailman School of Public Health. In 2014, after successfully serving three consecutive years as the New York State Department of Health's Statewide AIDS Services Delivery Consortium, Calvin was appointed as the youngest member and prevention committee co-chair for New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's Ending the Epidemic Task Force to Reduce HIV Infections in the State. Currently, he is a member of the new New York State Department of Health's HIV Advisory Board as a Manhattan Region representative. In the fall of 2015, Calvin will begin pursuing a Master's in Healthcare Administration at Columbia University.
Hi, my name is Calvin Lavelle. I guess I'll start with how long I've been doing the work. I've been doing this work now for over 8 years that I've been working in HIV prevention. Currently, I'm working at Columbia University. I've been here for 3 years. Recently, my role has expanded to the field director. So I work on various research projects, primarily, I should say, targeting MSM. Beyond that, I'm also public speaker for the Love Heals Allison Gertz Foundation, where I do health education, as well as also combat stigma, talking about the real struggles of someone living with HIV. And beyond that, I also do policy work. I've worked with the health department for New York State as a chair for the Statewide AIDS Services Delivery Consortium. Currently, I am a member of the HIV advisory body, and I am also a member of Governor Cuomo's task force, which is a group or an initiative to make sure that his three-point plan to bend the curve in New York State by 2020 is implemented and successful. My focus is definitely to tackle or target or really hammer down stigma among men of color. And I really focus on the men of color. I think sometimes we focus a lot on the gay or the bisexual, which is also important when we talk about identity and sexual behaviors. But at the end of the day, we have to see this is impacting men.
What are these stigmas? There's so many components to yes. that. And it sounds like your advocacy mm-hmm. is involved with many different levels of it, the intersectionality of this issue.
Yes. When we look at current rates specific to New York State and the nation, HIV infection rates among men who identify as gay of color are not improving. It's either steady or it's increasingly getting worse when we talk about infection. So clearly there is something wrong, something not working. When we are talking about, I'll be specific, Black gay men, you are talking about the men aspect, the black aspect, and the gay aspect. Each title, each identification, which comes with its own set of characteristics on how you decide to show up in the world. And when you're talking about HIV, we tend to focus a lot on the V, which stands for virus, when we have to remember we also got to focus on that H, which is the human, and how humans interact with each other, and how being seen, being valued as a black gay man is important when we're talking about combating HIV. That's part of why I'm an advocate and why I'm forthright with my HIV status and the work that I do, because I know how important it is for other young people, such as myself, to be seen. And before I had seroconverted to becoming HIV positive, how important it would have been to see my peers who were probably HIV positive, or my mentors, or other people talking openly and honestly of what's happening, what's really happening, and not being silent.
And what led you to advocacy work personally?
So when I learned of my diagnosis of being HIV positive, I was very, I'll be so upfront with it. The very first thing I kept thinking about was, who's going to love me now? A lot of people think you think about death or how you may have became infected or your family, which are things that you think about. But I thought about those things down the line. I thought about who was going to love me. And I was so scared about not being loved, I kept it a secret. Until about a year later, I had a good friend. His name was Orlando. Great friend. I remember the last time I saw him, and I can tell that something was wrong with him. He was depressed, and he was very comfortable in his skin as far as being gay, androgyny. So he had nails, the acrylic nails. So I remember him being very depressed at this club and just clicking his nails. And I said to him, I said, Orlando, what's going on? What's happening? You don't seem right. And I kept telling him, you know, if you need to talk, talk to me. Anyways, after that, I never saw him again. About a week, 2 weeks, then 3 weeks, then a month went by. Then many of us, my friends, my peers, we started together and said, wait, where's Orlando? Have you spoken to Orlando? Long story short, he committed suicide. Mm. And he committed suicide because he found out he was HIV positive. And even now talking about it, I still get chills. I do the work because of him. And I don't want other young men to be Orlando's. And had I had came out and told him my story, we could have been each other's support system. We could have been going to the clinic together. We could have been talking about the struggles of dating, of disclosure, telling each other our families if we wanted to do that, or the side effects of taking medication. But because I stood silent, you know, I partly felt, man, I lost an opportunity where I could have been a friend to my friend. So I do this work because of him, and to let people know, even if it's not HIV, whatever you're going through, maybe you're promiscuous, or maybe you're poor and you feel like you have to sell your body on the corner. To let you know, you don't have to do that, and you are worth something, and no matter what, you are going to be loved. And we all have experiences, and this is my experience, and this is what it is. And at the end of the day, we are the H in HIV. We're human, and that's why I do this work.
Calvin, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. So this dedication that you have, as you say, is for your very close friend, Orlando, who killed himself when he mm-hmm. found out, when he was diagnosed
yes.
As positive. And so this has taken you on this path with your mm-hmm. advocacy. And how does this tie in then? Because you're talking about self-worth. Mm-hmm. You were talking about
black, the gay, and the man.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So these categories mm-hmm. and how people identify mm-hmm. and relate. Mm-hmm. So how does this tie in then to policy? How does it tie into advocacy? How does it tie into this work that you're doing on the state level, as mm-hmm. you mentioned?
It matters tremendously. It matters in the context that black gay men need to be seen and be at the table to impact change. And policy makers need to see us, and they need to hear the stories, and they need to hear the struggles, and they need to see what's going on. And for them to see and for them to understand, it takes us to be brave, and to stand up and to talk about what our experiences are. It takes us being a Black man not to put down other Black men for their differences. It takes us being a gay Black man to not put each other down for our differences. It takes for HIV positive Black gay men to own and accept what has happened to them. Disclosure is a whole nother issue. But it takes for HIV negative Black gay men, or gay men, or people, HIV negative people, to realize this impacts you too. This impacts you too. Perfect example. My generation of when I came out as being a gay man, I came out openly to my family and friends at the age of 16. 16, that was what, 2003, I believe. And I remember I started going out to the Village and, you know, Christopher Street, and I started meeting friends. And then one thing I didn't realize then until now, I was missing a generation of mentors. Yes, there were older people there, but HIV took away a generation. They took away history and struggle and lessons that a lot of my peers didn't have the privilege to get. That's part of what HIV did to my community. It's more crucial than ever, that we are speaking loud and we are boisterous about what's happening. That's part of what HIV did and how it impacted our community. That's just one level of it. I'm someone that's going on 10 years of being infected. December 2nd, 2000, what year is this? 15 will be my 10th year anniversary. I represent just one story of what HIV looks like. If you ask someone 20 years older than me what their experience of HIV, it's gonna be a different story. And if you ask someone 30 years, it's gonna be a different story. So I'm just one story of this epidemic. I think there is a lack in people accessing the information. And I think a lot of that comes from fear and ignorance. Not ignorance in the negative way, but ignorance as in they just don't know. And I say that in the context of HIV in America does look different today than it did in 1992. Because we have made such great strides. You know, when we talk about babies being born with HIV in New York State alone, it's almost non-existent. When we talk about PrEP, which is a preventative method that someone who's HIV negative can take. When we look at vaccine trials that are happening and behavioral interventions and all of these resources, HIV is different. And it's up to us to access those informations, ask the questions, and to speak up. It always comes back to speaking up, because people don't know what they're not seeing or hearing. So it is part of my responsibility, and I'll take ownership of that. It's part of my responsibility to talk about my story and what's happening and what's going on, because I can't expect change to just happen out of thin air unless I'm willing to do the work. Locally, there is a shift happening, a positive shift and a good shift that is happening. We have seen this with the Affordable Health Care Act, where people now have insurance. There are some gaps, but we're working on that on a national level. The National HIV AIDS Strategy, which is now going through its renewal phase because we just made the 5 years since it was released in 2010. And then with Governor Cuomo, which is huge, who just came out with the 3-point plan, which specifically talks about people accessing care, PrEP for people who are HIV negative, and people who are HIV positive being engaged in care. All important things. And then just taking a step back, when we look at politicians such as Barack Obama, who's actually saying words as transgender and gay, which is unheard of, that moves mountains because it lets us be seen as a community. And that is the start. That is the shift Now that we have this opportunity for a shift and to make change, we have to more than ever take advantage of that, especially now if we can get the funding behind it.
What are your needs?
So as far as what's happening now, is we have recommendations, we have evaluation pieces that are now set in place, we have action groups that are set in place. We are mobilizing. We are, but we need more. We need more people. Every man, every single man makes a difference when it comes to mobilization and coming to the table. Yes, people will not think our lives matter if we do not. And if we know and if we believe our lives matter, then we have to show up. It's that simple. What do I want to see happen? I want to see more of my brothers at the table. I want to see more research initiatives for trans-identified individuals because we are lacking on information when it comes to people who identify as trans or have the trans experience. I can't emphasize that enough. We need to make sure that we have housing and employment programs available for people who are HIV positive. We need to make sure we have infrastructure for people to access healthcare and engage in healthcare. And we need to educate all providers, not just HIV specialists or infectious disease specialists or virology department, whatever you want. We need to educate every single physician, clinical provider, around gay men's health, because they need to speak to issues that are specific, such as STDs, vaccinations, anal sex, oral sex, protection, engaging in disclosure as far as being honest with your health, the whole DL thing. We have to have providers that can talk to these issues openly and honestly in a way that affirms and validates another gay man. The last thing I'll say is I'll just reiterate how important it is to speak up if you are going through something. When we are going through things, something happens in our brain where we feel like we're the only person going through it and we're alone. That feeling is the most deceiving feeling you will ever feel. Speak up, because I promise you, the person to the right or left of you may not be going through the exact same thing, but they are going through something. You may be able to walk through the fire together. And walking through is the operative word, meaning that you will make it through to the other side. And your test will be your testimony.
Thank you, Calvin.
Thank you.